This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So John Tortorella, from a media point of view, continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. It's going to be a busy night around the NHL tonight. One of the games we have our eyes on, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers looking to hold on to that third spot in the Metropolitan Division. The Carolina Hurricanes looking to move up. And with a win tonight and a regulation loss by the Rangers, they tie the Broadway Blue Shirts. But as we've been talking about seemingly all week, with just about every single guest too, Sean Couturier's name, very much top of mind for Flyers fans. So, this morning, this from Jackie Spiegel, covers the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers out for morning skate. John Tortorella already addressed the media, and when asked if Sean Couturier is playing, what he needs to see from him, he replied, "I'm not talking about Sean." And it sounds very much like for the second game in a row, the Philadelphia Flyers captain, Sean Couturier, may not play tonight for the Philadelphia Flyers as they face off against the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, from a media point of view, juicy, Junior. That's a juicy story right there. So we'll get into that with Elliot Friedman here in a couple of moments. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the Winnipeg Jets. And as Elliot reported in his latest blog, available right now at sportsnet.ca, there is a belief that Gabe Vilardi will be back by the end of the season. We'll talk more about Vilardi and the Winnipeg Jets with Sarah Orleski coming up at the bottom of the hour. Just getting out here, Dan Vladar undergoing season-ending surgery. Try to get you some more details on that and bring them to you. But that one, as we say in the business, just handed to me. Dan Vladar out for the season. Season-ending surgery. So Sarah Leski is going to be aboard. Ken Daniels will be here as well. We'll talk about the Detroit Red Wings. We'll talk about Showtime. Man, I love hearing Ken Daniels call big moments by Patrick Kane. Like, Pat Foley was great at calling huge moments for Patrick Kane, obviously. But I'm sorry, I'm a big Ken Daniels guy. And hearing Ken Daniels calling big moments for Patrick Kane is great. The Showtime call is fascinating. And we'll talk to him about the Detroit Red Wings as they look to, and that was a close one last night. Washington could have jumped over them again. Keep that second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. Hip surgery, by the way. So he will be ready for next season. That is Dan Vladar. So Ken Daniels stops by. Andrew Gross as well will talk to us about the New York Islanders. And I guess really, when Andrew comes on, really the only question you have for him is, what's up with the Islanders? And we know that scoring is an issue. Not being able to win games, certainly. Big players not being up for big games. Well, every game is big for the Islanders. Those are issues as well. But really, in a lot of ways, the only question for Andrew Gross coming up about the New York Islanders a little bit later on in the program is, what's up with the Islanders? So there's your program today. And whatever news comes our way, whether it's about Sean Couturier or anybody else, we shall bring it to you. A couple of things last night. Washington Capitals squandered one last night. They could have jumped over the Detroit Red Wings for that second wild card spot. 7-3, they lose to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews with 5 points, 2 goals. Could have been a hat trick if Tyler Bertuzzi either pulls up, maybe cuts along the blue line, and doesn't do the lazy beer hockey league, just try to drag your skates so you stay on side. It's beer league move. Alex Ovechkin with 2 goals, by the way, 49 away from Wayne Gretzky now, 8:45 for Ovi now. And don't look now, but John Tavares has 8 points in his last 3 games. TJ Brody scratched in that one. It was Dallas over Arizona, 5-2. Logan Stankoven scores. Tyler Seguin's back, he scores. Jason Robertson, 1+1. Kings blow out the Wild as well last night. Anze Kopitar with his 1,200th career points. Dave Riddick with a 31-save shutout. Victor Arvidsson with a goal. That's always good to see. And we saw Ryan Hartman go at Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then once Ryan Hartman was in the penalty box, we saw Pierre-Luc Dubois go at Brock Faber. Discuss amongst yourselves. Do we have Elliot? Is he standing by from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada? Oh, not yet. So we're standing by for Elliot's. So that was last night around the NHL, and there's a lot to get into today. Oh, by the way, we should probably start playing this game now that we're like a month away from the playoffs. We should start playing the, if the playoffs started today, who would face who. And again, this is going to change and this is going to shift, but this is more just sort of a Thursday afternoon slash late morning exercise for your brain just to consider the possibilities if maybe one of these teams is your team and to see who they face in the opening round. Vancouver and Vegas, the Oilers and the Kings, comma, again. Winnipeg and Nashville, we'll talk about that with Sarah Oleski, bottom of the hour. Colorado and Dallas. Boston and Detroit will face off in the first round if the playoffs started today. Florida and Toronto, the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ooh, that's juicy. And a game that we'll see tonight, the Philadelphia Flyers facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes. With that, we'll bring in Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts. The latest blog is available right now at sportsnet.ca and Hockey Night in Canada. He is back from Florida, well-tanned, well-rested, although I know writing days and nights for you, you do anything but rest, but nonetheless, welcome back, Friege.
I'm soft, man. It's freezing out here.
Yeah, and there's snow, and you're probably going to have a sore back from shoveling later on if you haven't already.
But no, I hate to remind you. We didn't have to shovel here.
No?
Thank God. No. No. Did you?
Well, I did this morning. I was up. First thing I did was put on some coffee and got the shovel out and did the front and the back. Yeah, welcome to country living out here from yours truly, your work spouse. A few things to get into about today, and yes, we're going to get on the Sean Couturier page because, as we talked about yesterday, Elliot, you never change a winning lineup, and it looks like John Tortorella subscribes to that philosophy. Bad news there for Sean Couturier. But your latest blog available right now at the website, and you go into greater detail on it. But can you kind of give us a quick gloss of a couple of your main takeaways now that you've had, 24 hours and a flight to digest everything you saw and everything you heard and the conversations you had? What were your takeaways from the GM's meeting this time around?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, obviously there were a lot of, like, they were very guarded on Arizona, but you kind of have an understanding about what the plan is here. You know, the interesting thing to me is, I kind of talked about it in the first thought of the blog today, is that they came up with the most recommendations for rules changes since the crackdown coming out of the lockout, right? And so... Yeah. And, I was like, it's interesting. They're tinkering, nothing earth shattering, but they're tinkering. And I found out that there were some people in NHL who don't like that because they think that if there's too many rules changes, people will seize on it as being bad for the game's bad. We've got a lot of problems we've got to fix. And I said, I don't really agree with that thinking. I guess I didn't even think about that. Somebody put that in my head. I don't think about it that way. And I don't agree with it. Like, I don't see a problem with tinkering with a bunch of things and saying, okay, maybe this could make us a little bit better. Maybe this could make us a little bit better. Like, so that was one of the things that kind of surprised me a bit, Jeff, is that maybe some people looked at it as all these changes mean that we've got problems. No. I don't see it that way.
Here, I'm with you. I think that, like, you always worry about your sport becoming, I don't know, what's the best example? Latin. You don't want your sport to become Latin. You know, you want to evolve constantly. You want to have, whether it's little nibbles or big bites, I think you want to always be in a process of evolving your sport. Look at what the pitch clock did for baseball, for example. Once upon a time, that was heresy even to suggest it. Now it's the best innovation for baseball. It's, sped up the game greatly. But I think as a sport, Elliot, do you not have an obligation, and I know that's a big word to toss around, but here I go. I think you have an obligation to reflect the tastes of the current sports fan. And the tastes of the current sports fan right now are not the same as they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, even 2 years ago. I think that as society changes and sports consumption changes, I think your product needs to evolve with it and change with it. Otherwise, you become Latin. I don't think any sport wants to become Latin, Elliot.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think you want that. It's funny. I did take Latin 1 year, and I was like, this is not for me. So I was laughing at your whole spiel there. But yeah, I mean, yeah. You're right. And it's not like that anyone's saying, like, these are fundamentally huge changes where the whole way of the game needs to be changed. Like, I'll say this. Like Ken Daniels, I'm beginning to get sucked into more and more of the Ken Daniels world about offside. And Ken Daniels, if you've ever listened to a Red Wings game, you know that he really yep. believes that in order to make it a lot cleaner and make reviews a lot easier and also potentially increase offense, you should make the outside edge of the blue line the key for offside, not the inside edge. And at the beginning, I was kind of like, eh. And now the more I see it and the more I watch some of these reviews, because they talked a lot about yeah. offside reviews at the meetings and what they think is onside and what they think is offside. I'm doing some more work on that. Maybe that would be easier. Now that, I think, Jeff, is a bigger change because as someone said to me, what you're doing there is, and what you're doing there is you're altering the sport. You're changing a major rule. And they like to be careful with this kind of thing. But I look at it like, you know what? Maybe that's the kind of thing we have to look at. But that's bigger. Like all these other things, they're small. I don't think people have to be worried about that. But I understand why sometimes people get a bit paranoid about this stuff.
I have Ken coming up in the second hour, so I'll go into I'll go into a greater description then and his thought. Yeah, Kenny's coming on to talk about the Red Wings, but I'm going to hijack the conversation and talk about offsides with Ken.
I have to tell you, how long do you have him booked for? Like 15 minutes, 30? Like what's his?
15 minutes.
I got to tell you, if you ask him that question first, it's going to be 13 minutes about the offside and 2 minutes about the Red Wings.
It's 2 minutes about Patrick Kane's overtime. We won't even get to Maurice Sider and his pick on Johnny Gaudreau.
That is interesting. Fans, they're still arguing about that in my mansion. Like that's been going on for a day. Dude.
Well, it's funny too because I thought
the Blue Jackets fans. Anybody who says the Blue Jackets fans lack passion have to go look at that. Like they are enraged about this 2 days later. Yeah.
No, they're still going banana sandwich on the whole thing. Like that, you're right. Like they are totally enraged on this. But you know, it's interesting thing about that. Like there are two pick sequences this year that I still kind of shake my head at, and that's not even the big one. Remember Jan Ruda in San Jose a couple of months ago in that overtime against the Rangers where he like clear on like Carl Malone picked. Zibanejad twice and then Lafreniere once as well and nothing. This one makes that look ridiculous, but still you're right. Like they're still out there arguing about, you know, Sider and the infamous pick here. Okay. Hearing you talk about that and reading you this morning writing about it, about the rules changes. And again, to your point, these are tweaks. These are small little sort of nibble around the edges here, just a little bit of polish before the spring. So you can show off the car after the car wash. The one thing that I keep coming back to is, and I don't know where it went off the rails. I don't even want to say that it went off the rails, but something changed. Once upon a time, coming out of meetings like this, there would be greater input and greater discussion with the American Hockey League about trying out some of these rules at the AHL level. And then much like the prospects, the coaches, the officials, everybody, they get graduated into the NHL. It seems like the NHL has like skipped that step. I don't know where it started, but once upon a time, the American Hockey League was the place where all these rules got concert. And we saw them in action. Whether it's something as simple as shootouts, whether it's mandatory visors. I mean, these are all things that were tried in the American League first, and then promoted to the NHL. I don't know where it went off the rails. I don't know where it stopped or why it stopped. But do you think that there's ever a chance that maybe the two leagues get back together and say, we want these things at the NHL. We're not sure about debuting them without first testing them somewhere. Can we have that relationship again?
Yeah, I think I don't know if that's a question for me. I think that's a question probably for the league and for Scott Housen, who runs Haley Moore in the AHL. It's a good question, Jeff. I don't know what happened there really. I'll say this. One of our producers made a really good point about the puck over glass. That there are some buildings where that's going to be easier to call it than others, and there's going to be some broadcasts where it's going to be easier to call it than others. And the other thing about this is like there's one coach I know, and you know him too. He really hates that this is on the coaches. He thinks it should be a league initiative that they make the call and they get them right. But the league doesn't want all that. They want some risk with it for the coaches for making the call. But the people this is going to put even more stress on are the video coaches. Like if I'm a good video coach in the NHL today, I am going out and I am asking for a raise. Because these two new calls, these are 5-on-3s now. Because if you get it wrong... Yeah. You're not only getting the penalty for an improper puck over glass challenge or an improper high stick challenge, you're also getting the penalty for delay of game. So you're going down two players. And if you're a video coach, A, you have to be confident in yourself and have the courage of your convictions, because these are going to be big, big calls. And you know that your coach is, while that challenge is going on, the coach is going to be, oh boy, I hope they're right. And the manager is going to be, oh boy, I hope they're right. And the owner is going to be, this freaking person better be right. And like that's going to be a lot on the line in some of these calls.
I'll tell you, this is a huge position now in the NHL. I was making this point yesterday on the show. If you're someone who's, hit the end of their rope. As far as being a player, but they want to remain in the game. Like, as you know, you talked about this a number of different times. There's a lot of ways you can stay in the game. And the one position that now is evolving to be really, Elliot, a power position on every single team is video coach. And they don't just have one. Like, you can recall when video review became a thing, it was sort of look around the room. It's like, okay, who's going to do this? But now, like, there are very specific video coaches. And again, much like... I kind of look at this like the beginning of the analytics movement, where people started to get hired if you had anywhere of a halfway decent website and a couple of ideas, and you could understand how to have a look under the hood and use the underlying numbers to try to measure hockey, you got hired. I kind of see this as the new movement of analytics in the NHL, but this is whoever can demonstrate a proficiency in analyzing video fast and getting it to a coach quickly, that person, those people are going to be very much in demand. Like, honestly, Elliot, if you were running a hockey team right now, would not one of your top jobs in the offseason be find me the best people qualified to act as a video coach? Because it could come down to one call, whether you're in the playoffs or not, and how many millions of dollars is that worth to an organization? It's a huge position that's just starting to blossom.
You know what? I agree with that. And also, you have almost have to have like a stress test for them, right? No, I'm serious
you're
about
not,
it.
You're not wrong.
You're being asked to make... Like, basically, in the playoffs, if you're going to make that challenge, that's like a $1 million challenge. Like, all of them are, really. But these are going to be like $1 million challenges. They're like millions on the line on each one of these challenges. So, you've almost got to be able to do like a stress test with them. Yeah. Like, are you comfortable making a decision that not only has huge financial ramifications for an organization, but also just also could determine the fate of the team. Like, if you're a video coach, I'm thinking about this as this is all happening as we're talking about it. Like, you go into you share the same room as the players and the coaches. Like, if you get it right, mm-hmm. you're walking in there and you're getting the belt, right? They're going to give you the belt. They're going to be pouring champagne over your head. But if you get it wrong,
yeah.
and you know what? It's like one of those things. It's almost like a goalie. Like, there's a lot of players on the ice that can make a mistake and no one sees it, or it's not so obvious to the naked mind, the naked eye. The goalie makes a mistake, everybody sees it, right? Like, if you're the video coach, of course, and you make that call and you lose, like, you can't hide. So, like, I do like situations like that. I haven't always been successful in them, but I like them. I'm not afraid of that. I know there's a lot of other people who aren't afraid of that, but I know there's a lot of people who would look at the enormity of the moment and say, I don't want any part of this. This is giving me some ideas, Jeff. I'm glad I came on today.
Okay.
You are giving me ideas.
Okay, you'll see the invoice later. It'll show up in your inbox. Stay tuned for that. There's no I in team, but there's two I's in invoices, we all know. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Columbus a couple of seconds ago and what's happening with the Columbus fans and Johnny Gaudreau and all that. And you mentioned this in your blog as well this week, and that is the hunt for a full-time manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Anything you can share with us? I know everyone's got their pet favorites and their reason why this person would be the ideal candidate, but it seems as if, you know, right now John Davidson is happy, and the entire search committee in Columbus happy to take their time with this one.
Well, I think what's kind of happened here is, first of all, it was kind of funny in a way, although if you really think about it, it makes sense. It was kind of funny in a way to see John Davidson down there and realize it's the first GM meeting he ever attended. If you look at his positions over the years, he's been a broadcaster, he's been a president of hockey ops. He's never really been a general manager before. So that was unique. But, you know, I just asked him. I asked him where things kind of stood. Were they hiring a firm? The thing about it when you make a change like this, the position like this opens, everything is quiet for 10 minutes, and then everyone just comes at you. What are you doing? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I either they're interested in the job, or they know, or they're pushing someone interested in the job, and then people want to run the search for you. There's all these search firms. So I think Columbus had to take a deep breath and kind of put together their list, which I heard was quite huge. And then they had to decide if they were using a firm, which they're not. They're going to do the search themselves. I have no doubt they also met with the league just to talk about what they were thinking. And now I think that we're getting close to the end of the season. I just think they're starting to consider who they're going to talk to. And you know what? The one thing I definitely think is, like, they're going to go with someone with experience. And you know what? Like, I think that means it can mean slightly different things. I think it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be someone who's been a manager before, but it's got to be someone who's been around for a while in a front office decision making capacity. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at here. Definitely experience, but you know, what someone said to me is it doesn't necessarily mean they've been a manager before, but it just means someone who's been around a long time, who's been in that kind of environment. And, you know, the one thing Davidson said is they're getting close to really starting it in earnest. Now, there are a lot of rumors going around out there about, is this person the favorite?
Sure.
Is that person the favorite? And the one thing that Davidson said to me is this is all way premature. That is his stance. That's what he told me.
Okay, so we'll wait to follow that one. We got to get to this one. I can't believe it's taken 25 minutes, but this is the story of the day right now on Hockey Twitter.
Yeah,
Sean Couturier doesn't look like he's playing again tonight.
Yeah, you know,
looks like the extras are going to be Atkinson, Gurianov, and Couturier one more time. They're facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. This is an absolutely huge game, both for Carolina and for the Philadelphia Flyers. Although win or lose, they still keep that third spot in the Metropolitan. But this is back-to-back games now. The captain is not playing. Your thoughts?
I'm a little, like, I'm surprised. I know this is hockey. You don't change a winning lineup. But, you know, I the only reason, I would say the reason I'm surprised is I just think you look at that Carolina team, which is kind of like a heavy team, like Jordan Staal on down, and I figure you just want Couturier in there. So that's why I thought he might play. You know, as I wrote today, I believe this is quote unquote a pace issue. That, you know, there's generally a feeling of that it just hasn't kept up at the way that Tortorella would like, and everybody can decide amongst themselves. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Like I said the other day, and I stick to it, I wrote it again today, I think every player is entitled to be upset for one time when they get told they're a scratch. Like I had some people say to me, well, this is the captain. He can't be upset. He has to eat it. I don't really agree with that. I think anybody who's a competitor, especially knowing what Couturier came back from, like it would have been easy, Jeff, for him to sit around and cash the checks. And he didn't do that. He fought his way back. So I think when you're that kind of a competitor, you are entitled to have one day where you can say you're upset. I kind of wondered, I wondered how Tortorella would feel about the agent speaking out, because that doesn't happen in every situation. Again, I'm not going to have any problem with that. I'm a reporter. I'm going to chase the agent too. But I wondered how the Flyers would feel about that. And for the end of the day, like Tortorella benches everybody, you know, like he's benched kids, he's benched veterans. This year, I mean, like, he's got no sacred cows. I just think it's because it's the captain and because Couturier is a guy who fought back so hard to play. I think that's got everybody kind of in shock. But the honest truth is he's not treating him any different than he treated anyone else.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Mm-hmm. So here's my thought on that. Like, you're right. Like, John Tortorella isn't shy about doing this to veterans, to kids. That doesn't matter. The thing about, I always circle back to the Cam York example. And you can recall last season when everyone thought that Cam York was making the team out of training camp, guess what? He gets sent down. And Tortorella was quite vocal about why he was being sent down. And, you know, talked about his game and where it's at, and we're not handing things out here, and you have to earn everything and jump over hurdles and the whole deal. And we all understood that. I believe that part of that, when it comes to kids and John Tortorella, I think it's a test. I think it's a test to, A, one, it's an ego check, but two, it's a test to see how the kid is going to respond and if he's going to be a John Tortorella-type player after going through that very publicly, where everyone had Cam York penciled in for the Philadelphia Flyers that year. He starts in Lehigh Valley. How is he going to react? To me, that is a John Tortorella test. And to Cam York's, you know, to Cam York's benefit and to Cam York's credit, he passed with flying colors. And what has Torts done ever since? Praise, praise, praise. How hard the kid has worked, all the things that he's done. He's been marvelous about Cam York. This isn't a test for Sean Couturier. Like, Sean Couturier is a veteran hockey player, to your point. A veteran hockey player that's fought through surgeries to get back to the NHL. It's not like he was Pavel Bure to begin with. I know the skating may not be there. It's never really been at the super elite level for Sean Couturier, but he's always sort of gotten around that, kind of the same way that Ryan O'Reilly has, just by being a really smart two-way hockey player. That's the one thing that I'm trying to figure out here. With kids, I always look at it as this is a test. But as far as the veterans go, I can't figure out what it is. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I do. Yes, it does make sense to me. I don't think you're wrong. I would do have to tell you though, Jeff, while we were talking, I got a text from someone who said, if I was you, I would wait to see the lineup tonight. he wondered if Tortorella is fooling around with some heads here. Yeah.
This is a deep,
I don't know that.
It's a head fake?
But this is someone who... This is someone who knows him, who's listening right now, said,
"Okay,
I wouldn't jump to any conclusions one way or the other."
Okay, so just so everyone's on their Twitter machine right now, Elliot Friedman confirms Sean Couturier will play tonight.
Yeah,
that's how this works, right? That's how this goes. That's how we do it with hockey Twitter. Is that that's how we do it?
Yes. Yes. Someone just said to me,
"Listen, great
knowing Tortorella.
Okay.
I wouldn't jump to any conclusions based on the morning skate. They said he has done this before. He's just sending me texts now. He has done this before.
Okay.
And what you're seeing this morning might not be the way it is tonight. So maybe he's maybe he's going all mind meld on us. It's an illusion."
Well, tell Brandon Dubinsky I said hi.
I'm going to tell you, if I was getting texts right now from Brandon Dubinsky about John Tortorella, I don't think they'd be this polite.
That's a good point. Okay, on that we'll wrap. Great blog. Welcome back. Well refreshed, even though you're already complaining about the cold. You are indeed, for that, a true Canadian. Just coming back from Florida, which is Ontario South, much like Arizona's Alberta South, and you're right away complaining about the weather. Glad to have you back, Fridge. You be well.
All right, buddy. Take care, my man.